Devin Anderson. I'm a doctor of audiology practicing in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I went to Brigham Young University for my undergraduate training in audiology and speech pathology. I went to Arizona State for my doctor of audiology program. I've been in private practice for about 14 months now. Outside of work, I enjoy tennis, raising my three children, traveling with my wife, and studying history.
When did you decide that private practice ownership was for you, and what characteristics do you have that are helpful to you as a business owner?
I really kind of envisioned myself in private practice right when I decided I wanted to do audiology. I had shadowed an audiologist in private practice and saw that it could be a good way for me to combine my passions for doing something in the medical field, but also owning my own business at the same time. So really kind of pretty early on, but really got serious about it after I had been employed for a year out of graduate school. I was working in a private practice and just saw that, the opportunity for growth and having ownership in that practice wasn't quite there in my time frame. And so I decided I need to kind of just explore. I'm going to build up the capital for my practice as quick as I can and then jump right back into audiology. I was still doing audiology on the side as a consultant for a medical device company, so I wasn't totally out of the field, but with the majority of my energy was focused on just generating revenue as much as I could in a different field in a sales position so that I could accumulate enough capital to buy my own equipment and start my practice without much need. In the end, I did get a small loan to just make sure I had kind of a rainy day fund, if you will, but the majority of startup capital came from my own efforts.
What types of services does your clinic provide?
We mainly focus on adult diagnostics and hearing aid fittings. We do tympanometry, acoustic reflexes, diagnostic hearing testing. We do tinnitus evaluations, tinnitus treatment, hearing aid fittings, hearing aid service. Mainly just, adult diagnostics and hearing aid fittings is what we focus on.
And what do you find is the most challenging thing about managing other people, and how have you prepared yourself for that role?
Well, I didn't hire a staff until I had been in business for about, 3 months or so. Luckily, she's someone that I know well and was a good friend, and so it wasn't, it didn't need really a lot of time to get to know her and her needs and whatnot, but probably the most challenging thing, in all honesty, about managing others, I would say, is kind of just taking into account the needs of your business, but also making sure you take care of them in a way that will keep them loyal to your practice and your business. It really is kind of a fine balancing act, and you have to, understand that, your business has certain needs, and you want to take care of that, but also you need to take care of people, because without people, your business won't be successful. So I guess the most challenging thing would be that, just finding that balance, and also just training them and helping them understand, have clear expectations. When you get caught up in the day-to-day things that you have to do as a business owner and an audiologist, a lot of times you forget to take a few minutes here and there to make sure your staff is trained on new things you're trying to do and trying to implement. And so just the balance of treating people right and also finding time to train them and take care of them.
What resources did you use to develop your business plan?
I found an online software that I found to be really helpful called LivePlan. It's a software that kind of takes you step by step through the creation of, your mission statement and thinking about how you want to word that and creating it and then projecting financials. So I mainly use that business plan software. And then, of course, I relied a lot on Google to look up studies for demographic and hearing loss incident data so that I could look at census data and kind of project a possibility of how many people needed my services and how many hearing aids I could hopefully fit in a given year, given incident rate and anticipated market share. So those are the main things. A lot of internet resources, and then here and there, ADA's website and the Academy of Audiology's website had some beneficial articles and some input to give in preparation for as part of the business plan process.
What is the best thing about being a private practice owner?
The best thing about it, I would say, is just, I guess, the freedom that it gives you and the potential for, real ownership. If I need to take time off, I no longer have to get that approved or ask someone that is, above me, because it's my practice and the time I have to take off. Of course, I have to factor in the needs of my patients, but when I need the time for my family or for travel and things like that, if I'm able to, I can do it and not worry about it. So I think that's really kind of the biggest thing, is just freedom and the ability to plan my own schedule and work as much as I feel like I need to and want to make the practice successful.
And what is the worst thing, or the most challenging thing anyway, about being a private practice owner?
The most challenging thing for me thus far has been the unanticipated changes that can come your way. When I started my practice, I was subleasing space from a physical therapy group. And they informed me after I'd been in business about 9 months that they needed the space back that they were leasing to me. And so you kind of have to, just kind of deal with those changes that you're dealt. And so for me, that was a big challenge, because I then had to find a temporary place for this last summer as I worked to find a place and acquire it and get it built out so that I can get back into my business, which I'll actually be moving into my new space today. So that's kind of exciting. But indeed, it was a challenge, because if you don't have consistency, then you're not able to provide the care that you need. So those changes and unforeseen things do come up, and so you have to just find viable solutions to deal with them and try and make things better going forward. So that's been the most challenging part thus far.
So what is a typical work week like for you?
Typical work week for me is I try and work Monday through Friday from about 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Of course, some days I work later than that. With my practice, I've chosen to supplement revenue with some contract work. So one day a week, I go and do some contract work in another part of the valley so that I can make sure I have some diagnostic and contract work revenue coming in. So one day a week, I'll be gone doing that. The other days of the week is pretty much just in my practice, seeing patients, for making sure orders are getting taken care of, doing the hearing testing. At least once a week, I try and get out and hand deliver reports to the physicians, speak with them, talk to, retirement communities, try and set up future marketing events and things like that, consulting with marketing people to do future marketing. It's really a wide array of things you'll do in a given day. So that's a typical week. A lot more administration than you kind of anticipate, but also a lot of patient care and just trying to, make sure you take care of the people that do come through the door. So,
can you share some of the lessons learned that you have found since entering private practice?
One of the biggest lessons I learned was to consult with your accountant right off the bat and let them set up your practice the way and your business the way it needs to be set up. I had a hiccup a few months in where I realized that I kind of filed incorrectly with the state as far as how my business was organized. It wasn't too big of a change, but it certainly caused me a lot of worry. And so at that time, I had my accountant, and he took care of everything for me, but I could have avoided that had I just consulted with him right from the get-go. So that's probably one of the biggest and most important lessons I've learned is to really, you know, pick your professionals and then trust your professionals. Another thing I've chosen to do is hire a local billing company to help me make sure I'm doing my billing and coding correctly, and kind of offload that to them to make sure that gets collected and taken care of properly, because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't have time to do everything that that the business requires and all of the greater detail that certain tasks like that require. So that's kind of the other big lesson I've learned is to, you know, not hesitate to do good outsourcing with professionals in your community that can help you in certain aspects of the business.
To that, what other advice do you have for folks who may be interested in private practice?
Gosh, I would just say to not be too hesitant about it. And that kind of goes along with another question that you might ask me later, as far as, you know, like, what are some misconceptions I think people can have about private practice ownership? I think that, and maybe I'm speaking too generally here, but I think a lot of individuals in our field kind of are overly concerned about the risk associated with private practice. And indeed there are, and that's why you need to make a good business plan and really think through where you're going to set up and how you're going to proceed. And it's very, very important to plan. But at the same time, if you focus on starting small and starting hungry and being willing to put in the extra hours and hustle to find contract work and do things like that, you got to recognize that, you know, you really do have value in the marketplace. Once you earn that degree, once you are committed to the profession, you know, our services are needed. You know, people are going to always have hearing loss. Companies are always going to need, you know, audiologists to do work for them. And so as long as you're willing to, you know, put forth the extra effort to find work and market yourself, you know, people will come to you. And so the other thing is that if you're willing to start off, you know, small and sublease and buy used equipment, our startup compared to other professions really isn't that high. And so while there is definitely risk and you have to, you know, be somewhat cautious, at the same time, there's really almost too much concern, I feel, amongst people that are considering private practice. And so you really just got to trust that things will work out and put your best foot forward, have a good plan, and then just work your plan, I would say.